Blog Talk Radio.
Social media has been around for many years, but during the last year or so, it has become an essential job search tool for many. Today's guest, an expert on social media, and she'll talk to us about the social media site LinkedIn, hear tips on etiquette, how to grow your network quickly, how to raise your profile ranking, search list, and more. It's Saturday, June 19th, and special guest Lisa Duty joins us next on the Job Search Bootcamp Show. From Austin, Texas, it's the Job Search Bootcamp Show, the show that brings you career advice with special guests and great advice. I'm your co-host, career coach, and Fortune 500 HR professional, Jay Markunas. Joining me today is my wonderful co-host and co-partner in Great Occupations and the author of the book, What You Need to Know to Get a Job Now, Miss Angela Loeb. Hello, Angela.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Welcome to our show.
It's been an exciting week, Angela. Lots of excitement bubbling around our upcoming seminar on June 22nd. I can't believe the response.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Man, we're going to have a lot of people on the call, and I think registrants keep coming in every day. We had some this morning. I was looking at our inbox, and my goodness, it's going to be big. And I guess people are really resonating with the topic. And let me just say to any listeners who are tuning in case they haven't heard about this, Jay and I are co-hosting a free teleseminar together. It's called Go For It, Four Proven Principles for Creating a Life Worth Living.
Yes, we've lifted a piece right out of our Career Finder Method program for this one-hour presentation. We put together a special webpage that talks all about it, and we'll have more information about that during our commercial break.
All right, let's get on with it.
All right, it's time to dive into our topic today. Out of one of my personal favorites, social media, but let me first introduce our guest. Lisa Duty has worked in a variety of administrative, marketing, management, and executive support roles for 20 years. In 2009, she discovered her passion and understanding for social media while researching top-notch social media speakers for events she was planning for a client. She immediately went to work for a major Dallas web design and social media firm maintaining and managing their client social media accounts. Shortly thereafter, she founded lisaduty.com, and that's LISSADUTY.com, and began using her passion, energy, and marketing talents to assist her clients in growing their business and networking via social networking websites such as Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. In addition to social media marketing, Lisa is a virtual assistant providing administrative support to small business owners and consultants around the globe, from general administrative duties to creating their newsletters, website maintenance, and scheduling their webinars. We're pleased to welcome Ms. Lisa Duty. Thanks so much for joining us today, Lisa.
Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to helping your listeners out today.
Wonderful. Well, listeners, we always love to have our audience join in the show. If you'd like to ask Lisa a question live on the show, please join in the live chat going on right now at blogtalkradio.com/jobsearchbootcamp. If you'd prefer to send an email, send it to askask@jobsearchbootcamp.net. We know many of our listeners join us via iTunes, and you can still join in the conversation by sending an email to ask@jobsearchbootcamp.net. We'll get it over to Lisa so she can answer it for you. So, Lisa, thanks again for joining us. Let me get right to the big question many of our listeners have. Is there a way to optimize your LinkedIn profile so hiring managers can find your information quicker and easier?
Yes, there definitely is, Jay. And the key to doing that is actually listing what kind of position that you're looking for, if possible, in each area of your profile. And what I mean by that is, for example, say you're currently working but you are job seeking, you know, try to list whatever that description is of the position you're looking for, if possible. Of course, it might not be in your current job description and then also in your past job description. Basically, it needs to be in every area of your profile, your current, your past, your summary, and then your specialty.
That's great. You know, a lot of people are really kind of new in discovering LinkedIn. Jay and I are here in Austin, Texas, and we're really a pretty wired city, so there's a lot of people in LinkedIn in Austin, but I know that there are listeners outside of Austin. They might not know much about LinkedIn, but I think one of the things that people who are new to LinkedIn want to ask me all the time, how can they grow their network quickly? And, you know, when you and I were talking about getting together and doing this show, you had some tips that I even hadn't heard of. So could you share with our listeners what would be like a really good way to, you know, quickly, you know, you've not been on it, you're just getting on it, and you want to add a lot to your network. How do you do it?
Well, the key to doing that is the first thing that you can do is you can import your existing contacts that you've already made from maybe your Yahoo or your Gmail account and invite them to connect with you on LinkedIn. In addition to that, the biggest thing that I use for my clients and I advise people to use is joining groups on LinkedIn. There's actually open networking groups such as TopLinked is one of them, and you actually can just join those groups and they'll send you an email spreadsheet every week that you can import into your LinkedIn, and then invite those people to connect with you. And it's a great way to grow your network quick, meet great people. Of course, you're going to get some, you know, some spamming in your LinkedIn account, but for the connections that you're going to make, as long as the quality connections that you're going to make, it's going to pay off in the long run. And to do that, you would just go over to groups when you log into your LinkedIn account, and then you can do a search and search for TopLink.
That's TopLink, TopLink.
Mm-hmm. TopLink.
Cool.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm writing this down.
and there's lots of other groups.
Yeah. No, I'm actually a member of a few groups, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about how we can optimize that, too. One of the things, though, you just mentioned about spamming or working with people who are open, these open groups, and I didn't even know they'd send you a spreadsheet. That's really cool. But I'm not an open networker. I know there's people out there that are open networkers on LinkedIn, and I'd like to really know, what do you think is the proper way to accept or decline a LinkedIn invitation?
Well, I think the first thing to make your decision on that is you have to determine how open that you want to be with your profile. Because there are a lot of people that are, you know, maybe they don't want to be an open networker. So you have to determine what your objective is. You know, of course, if you're job seeking, then you're going to want to be more open, because the more people that you can connect with, the more people that grow your network. Now, it is essential when you are accepting LinkedIn invitations that when you decide not to want to accept one, instead of doing the I don't know this user option, I always recommend that everybody I know actually just click archive. And that's completely proper etiquette. Just if you don't want to connect with them, just archive it. And the reason I say to do that is because on LinkedIn, you only have 5 people that you can invite to connect with you. Before every time you invite somebody, you have to provide an email address to invite them. So 5 people, you invite 5 people to connect with you, and they click on this option that says, I don't know this user, then after you get that 5 times, you're never able to invite anybody again without providing an email address. So I always tell everybody that it's just proper etiquette. If you don't want to invite them, just say archive. Don't click the I don't know. Just click archive. Invitation goes away. You're happy. You didn't give that person a bad mark, and in turn, hopefully, you'll get the same paper when people don't want to accept your invitations.
You know, it's funny you say that, Lisa, because back not too long ago, well, not too long ago, a while back ago, I invited a lot of people, and one of them was real concerned about privacy and said, I'm not ready to accept you, so he clicked, I don't know. And I got the nasty gram from LinkedIn that said, you have been cut off, you need to let us know if you plan to, you need to verbally say in an email, I will not spam people and I will not be inviting people I don't know anymore. I mean, it was very humbling, and so I'm very careful. So I'm glad you mentioned that archive option. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry about that, Jay. I was just going to say that I always recommend to people when they invite somebody to connect, remind them how they know you. Even if it's been 10 years ago, just, hey, we work at so-and-so together, and I just would love to connect with you on LinkedIn. Hey, if you don't wish to connect, please just say archive instead of I don't know. What's the worst they can do? You know, ask for what you want.
So that's a great segue into my next question, which is about how to invite people, because there is a canned email that comes when you hit the invite button on LinkedIn that says, please, I'd like to add you to my professional network, and then it signs your name. I've always heard that you need to put some context around it, and kind of what you're saying is, you know, maybe it's something like, I met you at the job seekers meeting on Monday night, and I'd like to add you to my professional network. Do you think that's appropriate, and how much context do you need to add to that?
I definitely think that's appropriate, and I would add what you feel you need to add. Of course, you are limited on characters in LinkedIn, how much you can add. I do recommend, of course, actually, you can't even put a website address when you invite somebody, and the reason for that is because you don't want to be considered a spammer, so I would definitely not put in there, hey, I'm looking for a job, I'd invite you to connect, but I would definitely, you know, identify how you met the person, you know, and if you don't know the person directly, then maybe, you know, so-and-so referred me to you, or I would really enjoy learning more about your industry. Tell them what you want, and that way you'll get better odds in getting that invitation accepted.
So let me ask a follow-up to that, Lisa, if you don't mind. There is that option to get introduced to somebody through somebody else in your network. Do people find that annoying, or you know, personally, I'm real hesitant to introduce people sometimes in my network because I don't know them sometimes. What do you think about that?
I think that it is okay. Actually, I like to get introduced feature. I think everybody has their own comfort level. I do think that when somebody sends you a introduce me to someone in your network, I think you need to disclose if you don't know them. Hey, so-and-so wanted to be introduced to you. I don't know this person directly, but I thought you might want to look at it. And give the person ultimately the decision if they want to connect with that person.
That's great advice.
Thank you. That's outstanding, yeah. Well, I'm going to sound like a broken record because I want to go back to talking about groups. We talked about that top link group and stuff. What is the proper etiquette? I mean, obviously that one, it's, you know, you get into it and they're open networkers and they'll email you a spreadsheet and that's obvious. But what about other like special interest groups and discussion boards? What's the etiquette around all that?
I actually wanted to talk to you a little bit about that because I was researching some job groups so that I could tell y'all a couple of them that you might want to check out. There's one that's just job openings, job leads, and job connections. Obviously, that group wants some interaction. They want you to look at their group. They want you to post on their discussion boards. I think posting on the discussion board is great. I think it's a great way for people to get to know you and learn more about you based on things you're interested in. Now, with that being said, I'm not saying post on the discussion board necessarily, I'm looking for a job in so-and-so, you know. Maybe post on the discussion board, my specialty is so-and-so and so-and-so, and I would really like to learn more about this if you have any suggestions. You know, pose it as a question. Don't pose it as, you know, you just want them to hire you, or that you just want them to refer you. Try to build a conversation around it. But posting on groups and all that, I think that's a great way to build conversation and take your connections that are online offline.
That's good. Well, we have one. We have the Job Search Bootcamp LinkedIn group, and it's open because we're open to anybody, career experts who want to join, job seekers who want to join, and sometimes people do post interesting articles there and events that are happening locally and actually nationally. So, we're definitely an open group too, but I think some groups are really specialized. You know, you have to have worked at a certain company. There are alumni groups for companies, alumni groups for colleges. So I'm sure that they're not, of course, all open. What if you have a special interest, like you want to be involved in something, like you're trying to career change into that direction? Do you have any suggestion of how to romance the administrator who runs the board and seeing if they can let you in?
I would just be honest with them and say to them, you know, hey, I really am trying to transition into this specific industry, and I would love to learn more about it. If you could please just let me join your group, you know, I promise it won't be a spammer. Give them that reassurance. I mean, that's all you can do. I always say that you have to ask for what you want, and you just need to be honest about it and, you know, have integrity when you're doing it. And that's why I just emphasize that whole spamming, because some people, and I'll get them from LinkedIn, I'll accept their invite because I am an open networker. And the next thing I know, I'm getting spammed. They're trying to sell me their service. That is not what LinkedIn is about. You can use it for marketing, but you have to be discreet about how you do it.
Yeah, and just so our listeners can understand, what was the job search, job openings, LinkedIn group you were talking about? Do you remember?
I actually just searched for the word jobs.
Okay.
Under groups on the right-hand corner, there's a search box, and when people log in, it'll say people. They can click on the little drop-down arrow and select groups. And then right in there, they can type the name of the group that they want. And I just wrote in jobs, and the first one that came up is job openings, job leads, and job connections. And there's 204,000 members. So, and then underneath that, there's several others. The job board, and then there's that toplinks.com I was talking about, the open networkers. So definitely, there's a lot of things you can do in LinkedIn.
Let me ask one quick follow-up before we go to a commercial break. On the groups, when you join those, would you recommend finding something very specific, or would you go for those bigger groups that have 200,000 members, or would you go for something very targeted that's in your job field? What would you recommend, or would you do all of them?
I would do both. There, you can actually join 50 groups on LinkedIn, and I would take advantage of that. I would join some of the broad spectrum ones, but I would also join some of the little specific ones. For example, I'm in Dallas, so if you were in the Dallas area, there's a group for Dallas. I would join the Dallas group, but I'd also join the bigger one also.
Great, great. Well, let's take a short commercial break, and then we'll come back and ask Lisa a couple of other features of LinkedIn, such as Twitter and LinkedIn together. So we'll be back in about 58 seconds.
Remember when the people that meant the most to you told you you could do anything that you set your mind to? But somewhere along the way, something called paying the bills took over your focus and modified your dreams? Hi, this is Jay Markunis of the Job Search Bootcamp Show. Imagine if you could actually use your talents and gifts, go for something you really enjoy, and not have to settle for less than you deserve. Well, we've set up a one-hour teleseminar for you on Tuesday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. entitled Go For It, 4 Proven Principles for Creating a Life Worth Living. And we're pulling information right from our new program, The Career Finder Method, to share with you in this free and informative call. Just visit our Career Finder Method website at www.careerfindermethod.info for more information and to sign up. Again, that's www.careerfindermethod.info.
Well, welcome back. Joining us today is Lisa Duty of lisaduty.com, and that's LISSADUTY. She's a virtual assistant and expert on social media. She's talking to us today specifically about LinkedIn. If you'd like to be part of our show, please join us on the live chat on blogtalkradio.com/jobsearchbootcamp. Lisa, I love social media and the power of it. I like many of the social sites like LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. And it isn't for everyone, though, that Twitter. But now there's a way you can connect your Twitter updates to your LinkedIn and Facebook updates. Do you have any tips on how to manage it? Or do you even recommend tying LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter together?
Well, personally, I actually do not recommend that my clients tie their Twitter or their Facebook to their LinkedIn account because each one of them serves a different purpose. LinkedIn is a professional networking. Facebook is professional, but it's also personal. And then Twitter is just a whole different animal. If you link your Twitter account, for example, to your LinkedIn account, anytime you thank somebody for retweeting you or giving you a mention or a follow Friday, and I realize for some of your listeners those words might be Greek, but whenever you do that, it's going to show up in your LinkedIn status update. And that's not something that you want to put on your LinkedIn. The Twitter IDs are not going to make sense to the LinkedIn users. Now, with that being said, if you have a particular update that you want to send just to LinkedIn, you can actually, from your Twitter, just do the pound IN at the end of it, and that particular update will go to your LinkedIn account. But don't make it so every one of them you do goes there. That's just my strong recommendation I have to anybody, actually.
So that's pound sign IN if you're on Twitter, and that will go to your LinkedIn. I didn't know that.
Searchable? Put that at the end. I'm sorry, you put that at the end of your.
Yes, you put that at the end of your update. Now you do of course have to add your LinkedIn settings in there. You just don't give Twitter permission to post every time, and then the pound IN will actually show up in your LinkedIn account. Now with that also being said, I actually recommend that people use a tool like a TweetDeck or Hootsuite to manage their Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter accounts Because you can have a particular update that you want to send to your LinkedIn, and you can just hit this little icon for your LinkedIn, and just that once goes to your LinkedIn, and then you can turn it off. And you can do the same thing sharing it with your Facebook also.
So real quick follow-up, the pound FF or the follow Friday, can you explain that to our listeners real quick?
Basically, everybody goes out on Friday, and they just recommend people that they think are great, that they share great information or they're a great connection, just someone that you need to know, and they just do their recommendations. And Pound FF just recommends that it's Follow Friday. It's a hashtag. It's what it's called. And people actually can search for particular hashtags using Twitter. And the reason you use the Pound FF is so they can just go in and look for all the recommendations that everybody's recommended on Twitter, not necessarily just the people they're following, and follow some of those people.
That makes sense as to why you wouldn't want to link to LinkedIn then, because if you're doing this automatic link, what does that mean to the person who's reading your what are you doing now on LinkedIn? Yeah.
Exactly.
So let me just interject something real quick, because people think Twitter, you know, if I'm on Twitter, since we're off on that subject and I'm a huge Twitter fan, people think, you know, if I'm on Twitter, I have to update and let people know what I'm doing and I'm going to the grocery store and how narcissistic is this? This is, you know, terrible. But really what you can do is you can – there's a Twitter search tool. Like I think it's search.twitter.com, and you can find out real-time updates to things like job postings that are out there and things like that. Right, Lisa?
Yes, exactly. You can actually follow people that do just job postings. And there's Twitter IDs. I don't have any of them on the top of my head. But there's Twitter IDs for all sorts of people that are just posting like jobs, like DFW jobs or that type of thing. And there's tons of them out there. And you can just actually do the Twitter search, like you just said, and search for jobs and then find all those Twitter IDs and start following them so you can get their updates. It's a great tool.
Yeah, and you don't ever have to tell anybody. I think they call it a lurker or a voyeur. It's somebody who just reads Twitter and doesn't ever update. So it's big companies like AT&T and some of those other large companies are actually posting their jobs on Twitter before they put them out on their own website. So it's a great tool.
They are. They are definitely. Wow. They're doing that more and more. It's just a way to get, you know, people quick.
Well, it sounds like we're going to have to get Lisa back to talk about Twitter next time.
I love Twitter.
Absolutely.
I didn't know you were a Twitter fan, Jay. I love Twitter.
I'm not up to speed on it. Say that again, Jay.
I said @ Jay Markunas.
There you go.
I'll have to follow it. Mine's @LisaDuty, and I've actually been tweeting the all about being on the show, and then I had a bunch of people retweeting their followers, so hopefully we got some listeners in this morning.
Yeah, I'm looking at the listeners. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Angela. Let's get back to LinkedIn.
You guys are Twitter freaks, and I'm not there yet. I'm just starting off on Twitter. I have, I think, probably about 40 people I'm following and about 60 people following me, so I'm just a little novice. But I know more about LinkedIn. I've been on there since about 2005. And now but going back to the job seeker perspective and what they're trying to do, I mean, LinkedIn is kind of like your resume online now. And so big question I get all the time, it's picture or no picture? Should I put a picture on my profile? What do you think, Lisa?
And what about these people that are concerned about ageism too? So I'd like you to address all that if you could.
I certainly will. I think that, well, first you just have to kind of put yourself in the response of accepting the invitation. Would you can accept an invitation from somebody that doesn't have a profile picture up? I know I wouldn't. I mean, automatically, if they don't have a profile picture, I'm wondering what their motivation is. Are they going to spam me? What is the purpose in wanting to connect with me? I say definitely a profile picture. I say that actually, I was going to go one further and say if you don't have a profile picture, what's the point in you even using a LinkedIn account? And I know you probably don't necessarily want to hear that, but it is the truth. Because LinkedIn is about networking. It's about growing your contacts. And if you're afraid to show your picture and who you are, then nobody's going to trust you. It's LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and all those. It's about building a trust relationship. And if nobody trusts you because you don't have a picture up, then it's not going to do you any good in the first place to use it. I hate to say it.
I'm going to say something real quick, too. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to just say something real quick about that. When people send me an invitation because they've met me at a networking event, whether it's job seeking or related or not, if I see their picture, I go, oh, yeah, okay, I remember I'm putting the name and the face together. It helps.
Oh, yes, it definitely helps. It definitely is a big key. And with that being said, I wanted to answer Jay's question about ageism. Unfortunately, that is something that's out there. And you know, what you could do possibly if you're worried about that is maybe use a picture that, you know, if maybe 2 years ago you felt like this picture was nicer than the one now, go ahead and use that other picture. That's completely fine to do that. Now, don't go in and use a picture of somebody else that you think is young and beautiful and great. You, even though everybody would love to do that, including myself, you have to be realistic about it. When the person meets you in person for the job, they're going to be like, hello.
Yeah, you're not Brad Pitt. You don't look anything like Brad Pitt. No, and you know, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. You know, I run the Compass Group, which is the job seekers group here in Austin, and I've got a lot of people who are over 50, and they're real concerned about putting their picture out there. And I tell them, and I don't know if this is right or not, but I think it's right. I said, put a picture of your high school years out there. Put your high school yearbook picture out there. So those people who are networking with you who you knew from high school, they go, oh, yeah, I remember that person from high school. Yeah, if you're really concerned about ageism, that could be one answer. It may not be the only answer, sure.
Yeah, it can be done. It definitely can be done. Again, I don't necessarily say, hey, use a picture of you in a high school just because it's not a realistic approach. But that could be because I haven't dealt with as many people that have had to deal with ageism at this point. But I think using a younger picture of you is completely fine. You know, I mean, it's a flashback, especially if you're just making connections with people you already knew from the past. If you're gathering new connections, you might want to reconsider before doing that.
Sure, sure. So can you talk a little bit about the power of a LinkedIn recommendation? Do people actually read those, and do they use those in hiring decisions?
Yes, they definitely do. LinkedIn recommendations are very important. And actually, the first thing I recommend to people when they grow their network, before they invite all those people to be their connections, invite the people you know first and get them to give you recommendations. That way, when you're inviting the new connections, they're going to look at your profile, and they're going to go look at your recommendations. So build your profile. First thing you do is invite recommendations from people that you know are going to give you raving reviews. Have them give you recommendations, then start the mass growing of your connections.
Wonderful. So any other technologies or social media tools that are out there on the horizon to help people in their job search that you know of?
Well, there's one thing that LinkedIn added, and I wanted to make sure and mention in the group, is you can actually follow a company now on LinkedIn. And that is a great way to get whenever they get a new position, somebody's came into the company, somebody's left the company, you can get an update on that. And actually, for your people that want to know where it's at, you just click on, when you're logged into your LinkedIn account, there's an option on the right-hand side of the word box that says more, and you can click on that, and a drop-down is going to come down, and it'll say companies, and then you just click companies, and you'll have a little search box, and you can type in the name of the company that you want to follow, and you just click follow. But I do recommend that, actually, for all the job seekers want to work in a specific company, find that company, search it. That way you can know what kind of activity is going on with them.
Well, Lisa, this has been an information-packed show. Fantastic. We and our listeners have gotten some great ideas on how to use LinkedIn better. Can you tell our listeners how they can find out more about you, your company?
Well, they can just go to my website, which is lisaduty.com, and that's LISSA.DUTY.com. Another way, of course, is I am on Twitter, and it's just Lisa Duty, again with two S's. You can just do a search for me. It's the same thing on LinkedIn and on Facebook.
Wonderful, wonderful. So thanks so much, Lisa. Let me just reiterate your website address. It's LISSADUTY.com, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, wonderful. So thanks so much. Thanks for being here. Listeners, we'd like to remind you that you can visit our website to get free additional resources. You can find information about our blog, coaching, and all our programs at our website, www.greatoccupations.com. Angela, will you tell our listeners about our next show?
Absolutely. Okay, we'll be skipping actually the first Saturday in July because that's Independence Day weekend. Happy birthday,
woo-hoo.
USA. but we'll be returning with a great show on July 17th. Doug Whatley is a career expert, and I've known him for many years. And in fact, he advised me at a real critical time in my career back, I think it was 2005. And he has dynamite. You know, he's very forward-thinking, always comes up with the latest trends in career and career transition, and he is a master at networking, which is the topic he's going to talk with us about. And he's going to talk about moving from online networking to in-person networking. And he promised in his little note to me that he's going to touch on how to avoid email oblivion. I can't wait for that part myself. So, yeah.
Email oblivion. I can't wait to hear that one.
So I think I'm going to have to tune in.
Good, good, please do. You won't want to miss our next show. That wraps up our show for this week. But before we go, I want to tell you that at the end of this music, at the end of the outro music, that there'll be a little commercial about how you can join our mailing list, so stay tuned for that. But before I go, I want to thank our very special guest, Lisa Deedy, for joining us today. Thank you, Lisa. I want to thank my wonderful co-host, Angela Loeb. Thank you, Angela. I want to thank 4Bs.com for our show music. But most of all, I want to thank you, our listeners, for being part of our show. Please join us again for our next show, which is on July 17th. When our special guest will be Doug Whatley. This has been the Job Search Bootcamp Show for Saturday, June 19th, 2010. For Angela Loeb and myself, Jay Markunis, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Jay Markunis of the Job Search Bootcamp Show. If you'd like to stay informed of upcoming shows and events, why don't you sign up for our mailing list? Just head over to www.greatoccupations.com and click on the free resources section and fill out the form. We'll send you relevant information, and we promise to never send you spam. We'll keep your information strictly confidential. As an added bonus, you'll want to click on the checkbox to get a free copy of our ebook, Taking the First Step, Dialogues from the Job Search Bootcamp Show. This ebook is a transcript of a few of the Job Search Bootcamp shows dealing with career change. We talk about many of the barriers that keep people from finding the work they love, including fear and the dreaded money concerns. Just visit our free resources page at www.greatoccupations.com. Again, that's www.greatoccupations.com.